Good morning. Good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning, here in person as well as joining us online. I'm so humble that I am proud of my humility. Does that sound like a humble person? Is that the kind of humility Jesus wants to see from his followers? Jesus provides the answer to those questions and even more as we delve into his holy word this morning. So let's get to it. I invite your attention to the invocation on page 3 of our worship bulletin. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. We worship this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please stand. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name.
Who forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases.
Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us.
Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worrying and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, For the evil I have done, and the good I have failed to do, you should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In his great mercy, God made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through his called servant. I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. In peace, let us pray to the Lord for the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
For the spread of your life-giving
gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you. Hear our prayer, O Christ. For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you. Please be seated. A reading from Holy Scripture, Proverbs 25. Is it better to be humble or to be humiliated? Our Lord says, "Do not exalt yourself in the king's presence, and do not claim a place among his great men. It is better for him to say to you, 'Come up here,' than for him to humiliate you before his nobles." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Turn now to our song for today, Psalm 115. We'll sing it as noted, with the vocalists singing the refrain through once, and then we'll join in a second time, and then we'll join in the remaining refrains. The verses, there are four of them. The vocalists will sing verses 1 and 3. The congregation will sing the second and fourth verse, and we'll join in the glory be to the Father.
Thank you. unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness.
Why do the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike.
Do we do things to get noticed by people or to fit in with the crowd? And as we attempt to do such, does that really give our life the freedom we seek and need? Something to think about as we hear these words, a reading from Holy Scripture, James chapter 2. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there," or "Sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." If you do not commit adultery but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Please stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Luke, the 14th chapter. What is it that motivates you to action, especially when in a public setting? One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated as we now turn to our hymn of the day. May God's grace and His mercy and His peace may continue to overflow in and through you, and this is possible thanks to our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Scriptures this morning. We hear once again these words from the Gospel of Luke. "But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, 'Friend, move up to a better place.'" Just on a side note, in the church setting, we'd have to reverse that. You get what I mean. Verse 11, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who humbly walked this earth in order to seek and to save the lost, which includes you and me. Agree or disagree with the following statement, and keeping in mind that with many agree or disagree statement, it can go both ways, as people can make a case to agree with or disagree with a particular statement. And the statement is this: people think more of themselves than they ought. What evidence do you see that would lead you to say that you agree with that statement, people think more of themselves than they ought? One place we can see this taking place is at the airport. Have you ever observed people getting on and off an airplane? And the jockeying for position? Or when a person gets on the plane and they take the bag off their shoulder and they swing it around and they hit the person either in front of them or behind them or already seated, and they don't acknowledge it. Either they are so self-absorbed or totally unaware. Can the two be separated? And then getting off the plane, well, who needs to get off the plane first, or who acts like they need to get off the plane first? On the flip side, some people might say that professional athletes are really not all that self-absorbed or arrogant when they do their dance in the end zone or when they flip their bat with attitude upon hitting a home run. It is a dance or a flip of the bat necessary? Self-absorption and arrogance, they tend to go together, hand in hand. And this leads to the conversation that Jesus had with some religious leaders of his day while he was walking here on this earth. And the point that he was making to them is still a very valid point for people today, including you and me. Jesus makes the point that arrogance cannot and is not welcome in his presence. But not just in his presence, in the presence of anyone. Rather, humility is welcome in his presence and in the presence of everyone. And so, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, your humility is welcome here in this place as we gather together to worship our Lord. But not just in this place, wherever we might be, your humility is welcome. Your humility is not only welcome, it is encouraged. It is encouraged by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, these are not words that we should just our Lord having a moment. We can ignore that. If I want to be arrogant and self-absorbed, I'm going to be arrogant and self-absorbed. That's the only way to get ahead in this world anyway. And isn't life all about me? Isn't it all about the way I want it to go? And no one else can have an opinion but my opinion? And where's that get in our world today? Everybody thinks their opinion is more important than the other person. And where does that get the church as well, when people think their opinion is more important than the other person's opinion? It doesn't lead to coming together. It leads to discord. So Jesus does know what he's talking about. Imagine that. Your humility is welcome here. not your arrogance. Your humility is not only welcome here, it is encouraged here, but not just here, everywhere. And Jesus makes that point when he was invited to the house of a prominent Pharisee, one who had some rank, perhaps sat on the Sanhedrin. And note the irony in that introduction of our text. Right? He was invited to the house of the Pharisee, and he was being carefully watched. Why were they watching him? Well, we know from the other parts of Scripture, right, that they were watching Jesus in order to find a way to trap him in his words so that they could rightfully accuse him of blasphemy and not have to acknowledge him as the one who was promised to come. But the irony is, as they were watching Jesus, what was Jesus doing? Watching them. And that's what he builds off on in our text. You're watching me in an attempt to trap me. I'm watching you because I rightfully am going to convict your heart with the goal of converting your heart. And their heart needed to be convicted. Because talk about an example of arrogance. The Pharisees were indeed that as a whole. Remember that Pharisee in his prayer? God, I thank you that I am not like these other people that are around me. Look what I do. Well, how many of us could be convicted of the same thing? God, I thank you I'm not like that person. Did you see the way they dressed? Their hair was out of place this morning. Did you hear their comment? Boy, are they out of touch. I would never make such a statement. I'm always in fashion. Everybody should want to hear my opinion. There's a Pharisee in all of us, right? And so Jesus was not just speaking to the Pharisee of that day, speaking to the Pharisee of still today. Now, another example of their arrogance and self-absorption, Jesus points out, who were they inviting to their gatherings? They were inviting the prominent people, the people who had influence, the people who could help them. I'll shake your hand, you shake my hand. I'll reach into your pocket, you reach into my pocket. And we're going to get things done. You repay me, I'll repay you. But Jesus says, if you really care about people and you're not self-absorbed, you will not just invite those who can benefit you, you will invite people who may not be in a position to pay you back. Now, Jesus is not saying that to the exclusion of inviting your friends and relatives and people of high position, but he's talking about the attitude. And that attitude that's in our heart and in our mind can reflect itself in our actions. We might say we are concerned about all people, but actions speak louder than words when those people are at your front door and you turn them away, or you say one thing in front of the camera but do something else when the camera's not on. People might be able to fool people, but God will not be mocked. Did the Pharisees know that Jesus was convicting them? A good number of them did. And that irritated them all the more and set them on that road even more so to want to get rid of Jesus and try to set more traps for him. But in their arrogance, they did not realize that they could not trap the Lord and Savior himself. Time and time again they tried, and time again Jesus called them out for it. And so Jesus rightly calls us out as well too. When we get caught up in our self-absorption or we get caught up in our arrogance that only my opinion matters, or only my way of doing things matters, or look what I have built up for myself. Would you have an opinion? Would you have what you have built up for yourself if it were not for the Lord Jesus blessing you in your life? So do we really have a right to be arrogant about anything in our life? No. Because every good and perfect gift comes not by our hands, but from the hand of the Lord. Now, the Lord Jesus, while emphasizing we should not be arrogant, or rather humility is welcome here, what does humility look like? Can a person be confident and yet not arrogant? Sure. And so we pray, Lord, help me be confident and yet not arrogant. We want to be confident people, confident in our faith, confident in the abilities that God has given to us. But at the same time, not get puffed up in such. Have we ever caught ourselves looking down on somebody else? Because they did not dress like us or act like us? Can we do that in the church setting? It might be so subtle. By not even acknowledging their presence. They're by one door, we go out the other. Again, not all of that is self-absorption and arrogance, but it does just give us a moment to say, did I purposely go that way to avoid that person who just seems a little off? That doesn't mean we rule out common sense, but it gives us an opportunity to reflect. Are we putting our actions where our words are? The whole point of Jesus' words, again, is to keep the focus on Him, our Lord and Savior, and off of us. The Pharisees wanted to put the focus on themselves. Look at how good we are. Look at what we do and what we can do. And Jesus is pointing out, it doesn't matter what you do and can do. What really matters when all is said and done is what your Lord and Savior will do for you. He is the true source of rest. I mean, you think of some of those professional athletes who do flip their bat with attitude and who dance in the end zone, and you can understand, you know, getting carried away in the moment, but how many of them, 5, 10, 15 years later, you mention their name and people go, who? True peace and rest doesn't come from something we accomplish. Rather, true peace and rest comes from what has been accomplished on our behalf. And that is Jesus Christ, what He has done. He has taken all of our arrogant moments, all our acts of looking down on others. He has taken all that and more to the cross, where He said again, it is finished. Those sins have been paid for, not so that you can keep looking down on others, not so that you can live a life of arrogance, but rather you have the desire and the motive to live a life of true humility. Confident in your forgiven status. A forgiven status that has been won for you through your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A forgiven status that He wants you to share with the people of this world. And in humility, we can do that. In humility, not only then do we want to share that forgiven status that can be theirs through Jesus alone, but we'll also to share the attitude that Jesus wants to see from people so that we truly can be a nation and a society and a church that gets along and builds up and encourages one another rather than tears down. The Lord says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. The Pharisees were going through the motions. Their hearts were far from where they needed to be. Thanks to the work of the Holy Spirit, our heart is where it needs to be. But on this side of heaven, there's always room for fine-tuning that heart. And so let us continually stay connected to God's means of grace, where he fine-tunes our heart and continually gives us that attitude and action of humility, which is welcome here. Because everything we do is to be about him, recognizing all our abilities, all that we have is from him. People are watching. People are observing. As they watch and observe you, right or wrong as that might be, creepy or not that might be, what are they seeing? Do they see someone who is perhaps self-absorbed? Giving the appearance of humility when being watched, but being something else when not in the public eye? Or do they see someone who puts their actions and their faith together as one, as consistently as possible, who sees your humility in action, who keeps the focus on Jesus? Well, especially here, but not just here, may people see that humility is welcome here, and not just welcome, but encouraged for the sake of the kingdom, that we may continue to glorify him, to grow up in him, and to go into the world with him. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We join in the confession of faith, the Nicene Creed. It's found on page 8. We read it responsively.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father.
God from God, light from light, true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made.
For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate.
He suffered death and was buried.
On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures.
He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead.
And his kingdom will have no end.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son.
Who in unity with the Father and the Son, who is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets.
We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church.
We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins.
We look for the resurrection of the dead. We pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for reconciling us to yourself through the sufferings and death of your dear Son. Through him we have confidence to enter into your presence and to bring you our prayers and petitions. Out of the infinite bounty of your goodness, grant us a rich measure of your Spirit. Bestow on the nations of the earth the knowledge of your mercy, that they may turn to you, the only God, and find salvation in you.
Strengthen our faith so that we unfailingly come to you in prayer for all our loving needs.
Give a special measure of your power to those who are sorrowful or mourning, to those who are in pain or sickness, to those who may be in temptation or peril, that they may receive your blessed aid.
And help us patiently endure any chastening and afflictions you permit to come into our lives, knowing that you are using them in love to prepare us for that joyful communion with you, which is ours for all eternity.
Lord, you love the cheerful giver, who with open heart and hand blesses freely as a river that refreshes all the land. Grant us then the grace of giving with a spirit large and true, that our life and all our living we may consecrate to you. Lord, we ask that you refresh the body and mind of Ben Bowden, who has been in need of medical assistance. Not only refresh his body as you will for him, above all, continue to refresh his mind and heart with the reminder that this health challenge does not change his status with you through Jesus. Continue to watch over the coming and going of those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. And for those celebrating a wedding anniversary, renew the couple's love for each other as they reflect on the love you have for them. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Accept our prayers and intercessions, and provide for all our needs, not because we are worthy, but for the sake of Jesus our Savior. Amen. As we turn to the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power. Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting.
Amen. And we also pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night he was betrayed, took
bread, and when he gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you. with his blessing and fruitful labor. Our Lord, this is Christ's body given for you. Take and drink, this is the true blood of our Lord. Take and drink, this is Christ's body given for you. Now may this body, which was given for you, and this blood, which was shed for you, strengthen and preserve
you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go and live your life in peace and with humility and with confidence, for you are at peace with God. Amen. We pray. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may hold firmly to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Morning again. Just to highlight Bible study this morning, we're looking at lifestyle witnessing. In a couple weeks, we have a special guest among us. Pastor Joel Nitz accepted a call to be a missionary overseas. We'll learn more about the call that he accepted and is getting ready to take on, as he will be leaving the country at the end of this calendar year. And so he will share God's word with us, and the word that he hopes to share then with the people where he is going. So he'll be sharing part of that in the service, and also then in between, that'll be our Bible study hour presentation. Sunday school for our children will be at 9:15 today. We'll start out in the chapel. The admin building, there's a chapel attached to it. So we'll start with a sing-along. Everyone's welcome for that sing-along as they start their Sunday school by singing powerful songs and hymns, and then they go into their topic. And then we'll start here at 9:30. Lutheran Women's Missionary Society, the whole month of September, we are collecting the mission box offerings as the we have our rally in October, and again, the rally is at Christ in Lodi. You can see the weekly news for details regarding the rally. Other than that, just again, direct your attention to the weekly news for things that are going on here at church and school. We do have the community cook-off coming up on October 8th, so if you want to do your best at grilling in one of the three categories that are mentioned, please take note of that and sign up as you're able. The rules for the cook-off are on our website. under our special events page. So check that out. This is a good opportunity to invite family and friends to our campus. This is the whole part of this. We don't call it a neighborhood block party. We call it a community cook-off as we get to know our neighbors. I know our fire department and law enforcement have appreciated the opportunity to come and also get to know not only us, but our neighbors through this event. So it is a great opportunity that we have to not only share the gospel, but to show our love for all people. To God be the glory. Have a great day in Him. Thank you.